Good afternoon, everybody. Thanks for joining me today. We are going to learn how to hack Hyper-V. Actually, I'm not really going to teach you that, but I am going to teach you how to prevent yourself from being hacked if you're running Hyper-V. My name is Simon Perriman. I'm a vice president at Five9 Software. We produce security software for Microsoft Hyper-V. I also run my own sports tech startup where we have thousands of unauthenticated users accessing our services every day. Got to build the security around that. Also a Hyper-V MVP. But I spent about 8 years working for Microsoft as a technical evangelist and an engineer on the Hyper-V and failover clustering team before that. So what I'm going to be teaching you about today are all the best practices, how to protect your virtualized environment. Now, what I'm also going to be showing you is not just how to protect Hyper-V, but how to protect any virtualized environment as well. VMware, Citrix, any of those virtualized infrastructures, because the bad guys, the hackers, they use the same type of technologies, same approach to go and try to get access to your system or get access to your data. So first of all, big learning lesson here is that security for virtualization has to be different. And that's because the model of running your data centers in your service has changed. If you think about the traditional data center before we had virtualization, things were pretty static. You would have a couple of servers, dozens of servers maybe, but they tended to be an individual role for each of those servers. You weren't trying to overload them. Now, with this in mind, you didn't change your servers very often. Maybe every couple of months you would go and add a couple of servers. And so the traditional model of securing traditional infrastructure was to go and install an agent. The administrators always had access, and there tended to be extra capacity on each of your hosts. And the reason why the extra capacity matters when you start to think about security is because of one of the biggest bottlenecks around security, and that comes when you do an antivirus scan. Now, what actually happens when an antivirus scan is run is there's a series of advanced calculations that are done for each of the files in your system. You basically go to every file on every disk, go run a mathematical formula against it, and if that very long result, 2.85 times 10 to the 29, happens to go and match something which is in a definition, your antivirus signatures, then we can say, hey, you have a matching virus. But to actually do all of those calculations, it takes a lot of computing resources. And so back in the old days when you had that spare capacity, not a big deal. Now, virtualized data centers are different. First, virtual machines are very dynamic. They start, they stop, many times without the administrators even knowing about it. Especially if you're running some type of public cloud where, you know, your own internal customers or even the general public can actually go and deploy their own virtual machines. You often won't even have access to those virtual machines. So being able to log in and install security software kind of becomes impractical, if not impossible. And additionally, you're running your host at near full capacity. So when you do an antivirus scan, that can take a massive performance hit and actually slow down all of the virtual machines that are running on your host. So these are kind of the big challenges that we're trying to solve here as we start to think about virtualized environments being different. The second thing I really want to emphasize is that security is more than just antivirus. So I work for the security company Five9, and we have a lot of people that come to us and say, what antivirus do you have? And they don't even think about anything else to go and protect their infrastructure. Intrusion detection, network analytics, scanning all the disks, all the networks constantly. Keep this in mind, security is more than just antivirus. And the reality is in these virtualized environments, there are new types of threats. You might be having end users or the public deploy their own virtual machines, where you're essentially trusting somebody you don't know to go and run their services on your infrastructure. We're seeing more and more portable storage devices, thumb drives, attachable hard drives being brought into environments. There was even a large government institution that was hacked about 2 years ago because somebody found a thumb drive in the parking lot, thought, hey, I got a free thumb drive, plugged it in, and there were viruses planted on that, infected the whole networks. But the most common way that these environments get attacked are through the networks themselves. Most people aren't doing physical theft, physical attack. It can still happen. But the way that the virus is going to get to your infrastructure is through your network. So we're going to try to secure that, and that's going to be one of the big focal points for security in our virtualized environments. The other challenge is there's a lot of new types of threats that are out, And if we don't know how to identify a threat, we don't have a match in signature or definition, we can't tell you that there's a virus or there's a problem. Malware is being created every single minute of every single day. You'll see various reports out there that say thousands of new malware is released every hour. Every hour. That's more than one per second. These guys are just generating different types of malware, constantly adjusting the signatures that identify the malware so that they can stay ahead of the detection. The other thing that a lot of people get tripped up on and stuck when it comes to security are threats that got into your environment a while ago but haven't been triggered yet. They might get triggered based on the certain time of day. You know, on one particular day, maybe the peak of the holiday shopping season, that virus goes off and takes down your infrastructure. There's also now viruses that are called logic bombs, where they'll actually look for a certain set of conditions to be met before they get triggered. Maybe 100 of your servers have to be infected before the virus goes off, and then you lose your whole infrastructure at once. All bad guys now know that most data centers are highly virtualized, whether that's Microsoft, VMware, or someone else, so hackers are specifically targeting virtualized infrastructures. And reality is, most data centers already have some amount of threats in them. Most data centers are already infected. And this actually came from a Gartner report about 2 years ago. They estimated 80% of data centers have multiple viruses already running in them. People just don't know about them yet. Now, when it comes to Hyper-V, there's a couple different ways that, you know, Hyper-V and virtual infrastructures get attacked here. This is becoming so prevalent around Microsoft that last year's Ignite conference, Satya even started speaking about this in his keynote, about these new types of threats out there known as advanced persistent threats. I'll talk about those in a second. But the most common ways that you're going to see your infrastructure get attacked is first, the compute resources, how you're actually running your virtual machines, the memory, the CPU. And usually, those are denial of memory and CPU attacks, where viruses will actually look for virtual machines that are using dynamic memory or adjustable memory and try to go maximize that so it starves other VMs running on the same host. Network attacks are the most common ways that the viruses are going to get into your data center. Traditional things such as malware, Trojan horses, but also denial of service attacks on your network as well. If your network gets flooded, nobody can go and access your service. Your business becomes inoperable. Storage attacks, the other core piece of your virtualized infrastructure. Well, data loss, data breaches, that's a common infection point. We hear about that all the time in the news. But there's also denial of data attacks as well. A lot of people are now running their storage over Ethernet-based, iSCSI, fiber channel over Ethernet. And if those networks get infected, get flooded as well, you lose access to your data. Again, your business can become inoperable. Websites, probably the most common form of attack you've seen, traditional denial of service attack, overload the web server, nobody can access your information. But the one that we start to get more and more worried about are APTs, advanced persistent threats. And these are essentially viruses that have been customized for specific environments or specific web servers. So they are very pointed, very targeted, and they are hard to detect. They will go and do scripting attacks. They will go and inject different types of viruses or attacks in memory, in the CPU, in the networking. They will even spoof IP addresses or DHCP servers, so your information you think is going to the right place, it's getting sent over to the bad guys. So the main way that you want to think about how a threat is going to actually get to your virtual machine, again, is going through the network. So the way that this architecturally looks and the way you want to think about your protection is looking at that traffic flow and figuring out where can I go place my security so that I can intercept all of these threats. Now, we don't really do much protection against physical environments. You know, there's technologies such as BitLocker, and everybody's, of course, encouraged to protect their own data center. But when you get the threats coming through the network, it's going to go and travel through your Hyper-V host. It's going to get routed through a virtual networking component known as the virtual switch, or vSwitch. It goes to your virtual machines. Now, if you think about this model here, That gray box here, that virtual switch, is really a single point of convergence. It can see all of the traffic that's going into the virtual machines, out of the virtual machines, and also between the two virtual machines. So this is kind of the single point of convergence, and if we can place security here, we can actually protect all of our VMs from both northbound, southbound traffic, as well as east and west traffic as well. Now, Hyper-V, as well as VMware, they have a concept known as an extensible virtual switch. This allows people to actually go and inject different types of filtering agents, antivirus agents, into the actual kernel. And what this means is, after going and installing the software here, you'll actually see and intercept any traffic that is being routed through your virtual environment. So one of our best practices here is try to find a security solution that is going to actually detect and protect that virtual switch, because this is what's intercepting and managing all of the traffic into your environment. It could choose whether the traffic is safe, or it can block it and alert you if you come across an issue. So the next best practice is you want to think about having multiple layers of security in your environment. Again, security is more than just antivirus. The first level of protection that you want for your virtualization hosts is to make sure that those don't get taken down. Because a virtualization host is kind of a single point of failure. You lose that one host, you're potentially losing 10 VMs, maybe even 100 VMs. It could take down your whole business. So host protection is critical. You want to also have a form of automatic protection as well. Think back to the challenges of the virtualized environments and why they're different. If you go and deploy a new virtual machine, and you have to wait for an administrator to find some time to detect it, log in, install that security software, download the updates, synchronize it, run their antivirus scan, that VM's probably already being attacked. So you want to try to think about how can I get a solution that gives you automatic and immediate protection. You want to always make sure you have a firewall. It's one of the most basic forms of security and protection, and have it block all of your traffic by default. Only open it up for things that you know and things that you trust. You want to make sure that you're constantly doing detection on your network, scanning all of the traffic, making sure it's healthy. And we'll talk about some different techniques to do that in a minute. Once you go and let this data through and you say, I think it's safe today, you're going to go and store that information on a virtual disk. But what happens if we didn't have a signature when we placed it on the disk? What happens if it's a brand new threat that hasn't been identified and you downloaded it a week ago? Always want to make sure that you're scanning your disks as well, keeping them current, keeping them protected, so you can find these new threats as you get new signatures. Now, over time, what you're going to see is certain traffic patterns as well. So another best practice is to constantly monitor all of your inbound and outbound traffic through all of your virtual machines, all of your endpoints, and store that information somewhere so that you can scan it, look for anomalies. And make sure that you don't just find a solution that's going to do an anomaly analysis based on what the general public uses. If you can, try to find a solution that's going to do customized heuristics. And what I mean by that is you go and build up a normal-looking traffic pattern for your data center, because everyone's data center is different, and then you want to try to find those anomalies that exist there. And finally, another best practice, make sure you can hook this into other third-party analytics systems. The reality is the security industry is big, and there's probably not a single vendor out there that covers everything end-to-end. When you think about Active Directory attacks, all of these other different pieces that you want to roll in. So if you can find a way to go and extend your security system to a third-party system that can do other types of analytics, it means that you're essentially extending your own security model. And a great example of this is Microsoft's OMS, Operations Management Suite. You guys have probably heard about this a lot. It allows you to actually push your logs and your files up to the Microsoft ecosystem. They'll store it in a rich data warehouse so they can do great analytics, filter it fast, and you'll use all of this collective knowledge from Microsoft to go and help you figure out these best practices and figure out how you might be being attacked. So let's dive into these in a little more detail as well. Now, best practice number one, well, probably number five by now, the next best practice is you want to try to find a solution that is agentless. Now, we talked about the difference between traditional servers when the admin has access and can log in and can manage those updates, and maybe only manages 10 servers. But again, in these virtualized environments where you might have hundreds of virtual machines, thousands of users, I mean, it becomes really tough and impractical to go and install a security component on each and every VM. So try to find a way that you can get an agentless security solution. And by agentless, we mean agentless at the VM level. It's okay to install things on each host because those hosts aren't changing. It's the virtual machines that are changing. Now, another big advantage of this, if you can offload that scanning, offload that security from each individual VM, and try to centralize it at the host level, you're going to actually reduce the amount of resource consumption that your scans take up and your analytics take up. Instead of doing scans and analysis in 50 VMs, we're now centralizing it on the host, doing it in one place. So you get performance benefits. You can run more VMs on each host and save money. And this is really important if you're doing VDI as well, virtual desktop infrastructure with client VMs. Because if you're just spinning up tons of desktops every day, maybe for a help desk, you don't want your end users having to think about securing and protecting their environment. We want to be able to manage all of that centrally. So you really want to try to find a way to have no security component that runs inside the VMs. This way, the users never have to think about it. They don't see the security alerts. They don't have to update the signatures or run scans. But even more importantly, malicious users cannot disable security. Now, one of the most common ways that service providers get hacked is actually by malicious internal users. Because if you're a service provider or a hoster, you're essentially renting your hardware out and trusting it to the public. And the public doesn't have a reason to keep it protected. But what's worse are the ways that a lot of threats actually get released in the public. That's from a hacker using a stolen credit card, renting a virtual machine at a hoster's place, disabling the local security, and then releasing their attack in the environment. That's been a big problem. And so if you can offload the security from running inside that VM and abstract it, the bad guys aren't going to be able to disable it. In fact, they won't even see it. So that's how you can get that better protection if you're entrusting your services to somebody that you don't really know. Now, compliance is becoming a more important issue as well. And a lot of compliance and regulations are specifically targeting virtualized infrastructures. And one of the key compliance requirements for hosters is the administrator cannot access their tenant's data and their tenant's virtual machine. So if you can find a way to not have any security agents running inside the VM and be able to centrally manage it at the host level, you'll actually meet more compliance requirements, potentially expand your customer base. So let's talk a little more about host protection, best practices here. Again, you want to always make sure that the host itself is protected. All those different components, the network, storage, CPU, and memory, because you don't want to have that single point of failure. So what we try to find here is a solution which is always going to intercept the traffic when it comes in, identify it, protect it, and make sure that your hosts are not going to be taken down. So host protection, host security is as important as your VM security. Now, the next best practice we have is to protect yourself from physical theft. Now, a lot of people have probably heard of BitLocker for your laptops, right? Someone steals your laptop, they can't go and add a new operating system and then access your data. But BitLocker's actually recently, well, not recently, since 2012, been supported on Microsoft's virtual infrastructure, including Hyper-V and clustering. And what BitLocker will do is it prevents that physical data theft. Now, a lot of people say, you know, no one is going to come into my data center and steal my servers, right? That's not actually quite true. We used to hear some stories, primarily in Brazil, actually, where armed robbers would break into data centers and literally steal the racks from the data centers because they could make about $7 on the black market for each stolen credit card. So think about that. They're going and stealing your customers' data. They steal 100,000 credit card numbers. That's a lot of money that these guys are getting. So make sure that you still have, even beyond the physical protection in your data center with the locks, with the alarms, make sure that data is still protected from that physical theft as well. In the unlikely event, but possible, somebody goes and steals that entire rack. And BitLocker has done a lot of performance enhancements as well. Turn it on, it's less than a 1% CPU hit, and you know what? If anything bad happens, you're going to regret if you've missed it. Now, Hyper-V itself has several different types of anti-spoofing technologies. We recommend you turn all of these on. They're off by default. And these are all available if you go into your Hyper-V settings and then select the network advanced features. The first one is DHCP Guard. And what DHCP Guard does is it will actually try to identify spoofed DHCP servers. So when a new virtual machine comes online, if it's DHCP enabled, it will go and ask where the DHCP server is. Go and grab an IP address and start communicating with a particular server using a new IP address. But we found that bad guys are actually able to spoof DHCP servers. So when the VM comes online, it gets a fake lease, it gets a fake IP address, and then your VM starts communicating with the bad guys. So turning this on is going to make sure that the VM checks that you have an authenticated DHCP server in your environment. The next one is RouterGuard. Kind of a similar concept here as well. It's protecting you against spoofed routing tables and ARP tables. So if a bad guy goes and tricks one of your routers, updates an IP address, which can happen actually pretty often, we could go detect that, validate it, and make sure that we're not sending other information to the bad guys. And there's another feature on here as well that you should only actually turn on if you have a reason to use it, and that is called monitor mode. And what monitor mode does is it allows you to essentially copy, mirror, any inbound and outbound traffic going to the network. So a common way to do security inspection is you don't want to slow down the traffic going to your VM, but you actually can go take a copy, mirror it, and go send that to a security scanning or analytics server. That server will then go through the traffic, and maybe your VM got a virus, but hey, at least we now know that your VM has a virus, so that we can go isolate it, do remediation action, and go lock it down as well. Now, with Windows Server 2016, security has been a big focus for Microsoft, and they've added a whole new concept known as shielded virtual machines. And this has really been a combination of three different technologies to make sure that bad guys cannot intercept data. But they've really tried to target the service provider hoster scenario. So the first thing that we're trying to protect against is if a bad guy hijacks or has access to the host. With traditional Hyper-V, when they have that host access, they can actually just go copy the virtual hard disk, mount it on a new operating system, and access your data. Not so good. So Microsoft introduced virtual security mode, and it's basically going to go and lock down that server, make sure that the bad guys can't hijack your VMs, and also make sure that the bad guys can't go and tamper with the memory or the CPU settings of any of those VMs, so they don't create a denial of memory attack for those other VMs running on the same host. The next set of technologies was trying to figure out a way to ensure that a particular VM only ran on a particular host that was trusted. So Microsoft introduced a new technology known as Host Guardian Service. And essentially what this does is it allows you to use a key value pair, a long set of signatures, and specifically say that these VMs can only run on these particular hosts. It essentially creates a trust relationship between them. So even if you're in a large hosted environment, maybe there's thousands of servers, we still want to control where those VMs live. We can ensure that the VMs will only run on authenticated and on trusted servers. And this also prevents from attacks where people will export a virtual machine, import it into a new environment. Again, it has to have that key value pair that matches to offer the protection. Next big one that we saw were the tenant virtual machines without encryption. Again, going back to that scenario where the bad guys have access to your disk or have access to your virtual network and can either take your data or intercept your network traffic. So Microsoft's been able to virtualize the TPM. The TPM is the Trusted Protection Module. It's a piece of software that has traditionally run on physical servers, but with Windows Server 2016, we found a way to virtualize it. And the TPM is this very large, complicated number that we can use to authenticate a particular server. We've now been able to take that same set of technology, move it inside the virtualized layer, so that we can authenticate the virtual machines as well. And this whole combination, these are all new for Windows Server 2016, a great example of how Microsoft is trying to add additional protection for the data center. So the next best practice I want to dive into a little more is how can you provide this automatic and immediate protection? Now remember, you want to be able to do this so that you don't have to wait for the admin to go and install the security, turn it on, get it up and running. Remember, your virtualized environments are dynamic. VMs are being deployed, new virtual networks are being added. You want to make sure that you can protect all of those. If you're using the traditional endpoint security with agents, again, you have that long delay. So we always want to try to find a way where we can go and protect anything that's deployed on the host. And our best practice recommendation is going back to installing the software on the virtual switch. When you have your security software installed on the Hyper-V virtual switch, the extensible switch, any new virtual machine that gets deployed behind that switch is automatically and immediately protected. Think about that. The traffic to get to that VM has to go through that switch. If we're protecting at the switch level, that VM is isolated. It's already blocked off. So you can guarantee this automatic and immediate protection for newly deployed virtual machines, virtual networks, and virtual disks. It's really important to be able to centrally manage all of the data in your environment as well. Centrally manage your signatures using a recognized industry leader. And this is important because you want to make sure that all of your security policies are current and up to date. If you're interested in your end users, people with your laptops, people running VDI to manage their own security policies, people are going to get lazy. That's the reality. If I'm only working 8 hours a day in a help desk and I make money for only when I'm speaking on the phone, I don't want to go and spend 30 minutes installing patches and reboot them. I couldn't care less about security, not my problem. But you guys as administrators need to be able to care about that. You need to ensure that your patches are current, up to date. So try to find a centralized management solution for all of the rules and definitions. And another best practice is when you're going and updating those, don't have your Hyper-V host directly connected to the public internet and downloading those updates from there. If those hosts are connected to the public internet, they can be attacked. You can get those denial of service attacks through the network. So what you'll find with most security solutions, antivirus intrusion detection, is you can set up a proxy server. That's basically one server that's connected to the internet, and then your hosts are connected to that server. So the proxy server kind of serves as an intermediary for downloading the patches. And if that gets attacked, hey, at least it's not taking out your core business operations. So you can kind of think of it as a model like Windows Server Update Services or WSUS. Download the patches to one location, test them, make sure they're secure, and then deploy them locally. And that's also going to reduce your network traffic because you don't have 1,000 hosts all downloading patches at the same time. You have one local host downloading all of those patches. And then it can distribute the updates locally. So it keeps things a little more secure and reduces your network traffic. You want to make sure that you're isolating all of your resources as well. Isolation is key in a virtualized environment, especially a multi-tenant environment. So not only should the admin be able to not access the tenants, we talked about that a little bit, but you want to make sure that the tenants or your users cannot go and impact each other. Now, one of the most common problems we saw when virtualization started to become popular around 2008 was this problem of a noisy neighbor. And what that meant was if you had one virtual machine that was taking up too much of the network traffic or accessing too much of your disk, or it would use dynamic memory and balloon and consume too much memory, it would actually starve those other VMs on that same host. And this became a common attack when there wasn't any control. You would go and turn up some crazy SQL application, they would just be consuming as much memory on the host, and nobody else could access their information anymore. So Microsoft, as well as many other third parties, are now introducing quality of service or bandwidth throttling for your virtual resources and your networks. And what this does is it essentially allows you to assign a minimum amount of bandwidth and a maximum amount of bandwidth so that you kind of have a nice range where all your traffic lies. This way, a particular VM is not going to consume too much, yet it gets guaranteed a minimum in the environment. So always turn on quality of service. It's a great way to ensure that your resources are not getting overloaded. Now, our next best practice is to be protecting all of the virtual networks. Now, we've kind of talked about protecting the virtual machines when protecting the VMs when they're actually on a host through that single point of convergence, the virtual switch. And if you're highly virtualized, you want to go and use a modern-day security solution. Get rid of those traditional network security appliances. Here's why. The traffic that goes from one host to another through an external network, those network appliances pick that up. Great. They will prevent your threat from spreading from one host to another. But what happens when one of your VMs is infected and it's attacking other VMs on that same host through an internal network or through a private network? That external security appliance isn't going to see any of these attacks. It's useless in the virtualized environment. And so what we've heard from hosters is they'll be in a bad situation where one of their VMs on a host gets infected, and then it infects every other VM on that host through those virtual networks before any type of traditional network security appliance can even detect it. So again, if you're highly modernized, highly virtualized, get a virtualized security appliance, not that physical one, or it's just going to miss too much of the traffic. You also want to think about trying to get a universal firewall as well. Now, this is going to be important if you have a diverse virtual environment with lots of different types of guest operating systems. Now, what we found is, Microsoft has even published this, a fifth of all Hyper-V virtual machines run Linux. And even within that Linux world, there's a bunch of different Linux distributions that are available. Now, that means four-fifths are still running Windows or Windows Server, but across that whole ecosystem, especially if you're a service provider, you could potentially have dozens of different operating systems that you're trying to manage all at once. And so finding a firewall for each and everyone is a lot of work. You'll have some inconsistencies. It'll be manual installation logging into each VM, setting up a unique firewall for each of them. So as another best practice, you want to try to find a virtual firewall that's universal, meaning that you can set the rules in one place, and it doesn't matter what the guest operating system is. And so for this, we again recommend being able to install your security software at that virtual switch level. Because we do our firewall there, then what that's going to do, it doesn't matter what the guest operating system is. All of our rules and policies to accept the traffic or block the traffic happen on the host. We're completely agnostic of what runs inside that VM. So this means that you can have a single place to go to update your rules, and make sure that they're consistent for every VM that you're trying to protect. You also want to try to have a way to actually detect a threat as soon as it arrives at your VM, something like active detection. Now, the way that this works is, as your data comes into your host or it comes into the virtual machine, depending on how it's encrypted, you can actually go and inspect the network packets. Now, a network packet basically contains two pieces. It contains a header, which includes the routing information, and that gets picked up by the firewall. And then it contains the payload, which is the data that you're actually trying to transfer. If you can find a security solution that's going to allow you to open up the packet, do deep packet inspection, and actually go and look at the data as it's coming in, you kind of get an opportunity to have a first alert, be notified as soon as it's going through the network, try to isolate and protect that. And you want to make sure that you're automatically alerting administrators anytime there's a problem. Email, PowerShell scripts, passing event logs, you know, detection's only one part of it. Remediation is a key piece as well. Now, as far as actually scanning your infrastructure, remember at the beginning we talked about one of the big challenges is around the antivirus storms. How do you go and have these dense virtualized environments when an antivirus scan can take up to 30% of the CPU power? Remember, you want to be running as many VMs on each host as you can for that density to save you money. But these antivirus storms slow things down. So the best way that we found to go and protect against this is to use technologies that will actually do differential scanning, change block tracking. So what do I mean by that? Well, instead of having to scan the disk each and every time, which can take up all of that computing power, you know, every single file on every single disk for every single virtual machine, what you want to do is actually just track the blocks of data which have changed since your last scan. Go scan those, do a differential scan. It's going to make it significantly faster. So instead of your antivirus scans taking an hour, because you're scanning 100 terabytes, you might be able to do all your antivirus scans in a minute, because it's only scanning 100 megabytes. This means that your VMs can run faster, your hosts can get more density, and ultimately, you guys can save some money here as well. We want to make sure we're constantly automating all of our security task management as well. As soon as a new host is deployed, install agents, protect it. As soon as the new VM is deployed, protect it. So finding a security solution with PowerShell support is critical if you're in a Windows environment. This way you can go and integrate it with other services. I'll give you a common example that we have. Some of our customers use Azure Pack, which is kind of the on-premise version of Azure. Every time their customers deploy a new virtual machine, they want to do custom security policies, set things up. Now, in many cases, you could do a lot of these through the Azure Pack portal if there's an extension like Five9 has, but if you don't have any other type of extension that's directly hooked into your own system, you want to integrate it with PowerShell. So you can detect a new virtual machine has been deployed on this host. Let me then immediately go follow a series of scripts to go and protect it, to install my security, to configure my antivirus rules, to configure my policies. And that's also going to eliminate human error. It's going to make sure your VMs get protected faster. And more importantly, make sure that you have consistency with that security policy as well. Now, if you are doing an all-purpose event, like you need to go and apply a policy to every VM, or you need to go and scan every disk, best practice, make sure that you stagger it. Don't go and try to apply a global change all at once. First of all, if that's a bad change, you don't want to take down your whole infrastructure. But secondly, you don't want to go and overload it by making too many changes on the system at once. So anytime you do anything like a disk scan or an update, try to go and stagger that across the infrastructure. It'll give you an opportunity to detect if there was a bad change made, give you more time to test it, but also not impact your performance. Now, up to now, we've primarily been talking about outbound threats attacking us. But there are also inbound threats as well. This is important for you to protect against as well. Even your most trusted administrators, they may go and get one of those bad thumb drives they found in the parking lot, for example. If you're a hosting or a service provider, you're renting your hardware to the public, you don't know what they want to do. So you always got to be thinking about detecting your traffic, not just when it comes into your environment, but when you send it to other services within your environment. Get that universal protection. And what you're going to want to see over time is you're going to go and build up a baseline of normal traffic. Now, each data center is different. And based on what your users are doing, you might see very odd traffic patterns in your own data center. For example, if you have developers, they may actually be creating applications that will purposely go and flood a network to try to transmit that data as fast as possible. And traditional and intrusion detection or security components, they will actually think that you're being attacked. One of your VMs is attacking the other. So best practice here is understand what your normal traffic looks like. Build a policy, build a mapping, look at the protocols that are being used, the time of day. Define that and then make sure that you're reacting to it when you see those anomalies, you see those spikes. Here's my normal traffic pattern. I'm seeing all of these deviations. I should go and investigate. Again, extending to the analytics platform, this is really important. Go and find a security solution that does logging in a standard format, such as syslog. With a syslog format, you basically say, here's a timestamp. Here's the protocol that's being used. Here's when I first saw the traffic. Here's how many times I've seen it. This is very much an industry standard. So you can go and take this information that you're logging locally and go and send it to in-house analytics systems or third-party analytics systems. Microsoft OMS, a big player now. You know, I strongly encourage everybody to take a look at that. You collect all of your logs, send it up to Microsoft, and they'll tell you where you have flaws and vulnerabilities. Now, you also want to think about having high availability for your security infrastructure as well. If you have a single security system that's doing all the management, the reporting, and alerting you, you want to make sure that security system's highly available and not vulnerable. If that security management system has to be patched or goes offline and something gets attacked, you're not going to be notified. You're going to miss it. So you want to think about high availability throughout your security infrastructure. And what you'll find is most security systems have a very similar design to this architecture, where they'll have a main management server, the brains of the operation. They'll have a SQL database or some other type of database that stores all of your logs files so that it can keep track of changes, figure out normal traffic patterns. Multiple management interfaces so that you can go and access and review that data. You then got to go and protect all of your hosts, clusters, virtual machines. But then when you got to think about high availability, you need redundancy throughout the stack here. You need redundancy in your management servers. You need high availability for your SQL databases. And if you have a branch office, you need to make sure that you can find a security solution that can synchronize between these two different parts, so that if you make a change somewhere, the change gets reflected elsewhere. Now, one of the more interested scenarios I was speaking to a friend about is he does security on a cruise line. And the way the cruise lines work is they have a main data center in Seattle, and then each cruise ship is essentially its own data center. They'll go out to sea, they'll be isolated for a couple days. Meanwhile, home base is making changes. Meanwhile, that data center on the ship is seeing different types of traffic. You know, they're receiving traffic that then goes throughout the whole ship to the public using the internet connection. Things are constantly changing in both locations, and then once a week, ship comes back to dock, you need to make sure that you can resynchronize and get that global consistency across, you know, not just one site, multiple data centers. And certainly if you're in branch office, that's important as well, even if you have a persistent connection. Now, if you're really embracing the Microsoft ecosystem, find a security solution that can plug into System Center as well. If you're using System Center, you decided to do that because you want to centrally manage all of your resources, especially those virtualized resources. So make it easy for your virtualization admin, your security admin, have a single place where you can configure a policy, make changes, and have it globally replicated throughout your environment. If you're a service provider using Azure Pack today, or you're thinking about using Azure Stack in the future, try to find a security solution that can plug into this as well. Because the great thing about this model with Azure Pack is if you're a service provider and you're offering better security than what is standard, that's actually a service that you can resell to your own customers. So think about that. I'm a service provider, I'm a hoster. Maybe I charge $5 per month per VM. But if I turn on the super security settings, I can now charge $10 per month per VM. So it's actually an opportunity to make net new revenue by being able to go and promote your security. Turn it on by default. Make sure that all of your customers sign up for it and have to explicitly opt out of it. And this is going to ultimately, all of these pieces together, be able to offer you more compliance and help you meet more regulation requirements. Everybody's doing virtualized infrastructure. Most compliance standards, whether they're PCI DSS, HIPAA, SOX, they all tell you how to protect infrastructure from physical attacks, and they are very virtualization aware. Hackers know about virtual environments. They know how to attack them. All of these best practices I told you, the bad guys know about them as well and how to exploit them if you're not following them. But by being able to offer that separation as well between the administrator and the tenant, by never having to go into the VM, never having to install security in there, you're able to offer really a new level of protection, meet more compliance requirements, and potentially open yourself up to new markets, to government customers, to legal, financial, compliance, anybody that has those regulation standards where you want them to be using your VMs, but you need to guarantee 100% that the admin can't get inside that VM. Now I'm going to quickly switch over to our demo here and just show you a very quick way that we can quickly identify and attack different environments. Now, as I mentioned, I work for Five9, and we have a security solution specifically built for Hyper-V. We're actually going to go and protect all of these different best practices by our own agentless solution. We plug into that Hyper-V virtual switch. We guarantee that immediate security and protection. So what I've got here is this is a virtual lab that we have available for testing. And I encourage everybody, make sure that you have a great test kit to be able to go and inject these viruses, this malware, into your environment so you can test your security solution really works. And from here, we can go and take a look at all of our different types of notifications and quickly see that all of our antivirus policies are holding up. So testing, really important. Make sure you're testing your firewall, your antivirus, your intrusion detection system, being able to detect all of these different types of anomalies in your environment. So finally, as I wrap up here, hopefully you learned some great best practices here. Today, our old company is releasing our version of Five9 Cloud Security for Windows Server 2016. We follow all of these best practices that I've told you with agentless antivirus, fast disk scans. So I want to encourage you, if you're interested in learning more, we'll have somebody outside who's actually scanning badges. If not, please come to our booth, 2065, right there, the guy in the blue shirt. So if you want to learn more about us, you know, get a scan, stop by our booth later today. We'd be happy to tell you more about all of these best practices, how you can go and deploy them inside your own environment. To take it away, to summarize, first of all, keep in mind, security for virtualization is different. Keep this in mind, different policies, different best practices, and it's more than just antivirus. Make sure you're protecting yourself across all of these different types of threat and detection. Find a solution that's built for your virtualized environment, and make sure that you're centrally managing this. With this, you can get all of these best practices, guarantee uptime, stay healthy, and keep yourself in business. With that, I want to thank everybody for coming. Hope you enjoy the rest of the show, and I hope you learned a little bit more about virtualization security, how to hack Hyper-V, and more importantly, how to not be hacked when you're running Hyper-V. Thank you. I'll be available for questions up front for a couple of minutes. And again, if you want to learn more, get your badge scanned, see the guy in the blue shirt in the corner. Thank you.